Welcome to Intelligent Medicine, America's foremost program on health, medicine, and nutrition, featuring the latest on both conventional and alternative therapies. Now, here's Dr. Ronald Hoffman.
Welcome to Intelligent Medicine. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman. We've got lots to share with you this hour. Looks like we've got a lot of calls, but you can still try 888-302-3684 is our number if you want to get through with questions about Intelligent Medicine. That means best of high-tech medicine, the best of natural therapies. We combine them each weekend for you. And lots more Intelligent Medicine you can find at drhoffman.com, because we've got more podcasts. We've got great articles this week. We wrote an article entitled Six New Products That I'm Excited About 2015. Share some of those with you later in today's show. Also, we got some tips for winter skin dryness. Last week's article, 10 Natural Solutions for Winter Skin Dryness. We'll provide you with some advice if your skin is shark-like. So the big question, tomorrow's the Super Bowl. Everybody's getting ready for a big potlatch. I got my avocados ripening. My responsibility for the Super Bowl party is to bring the guacamole. I make a mean guacamole. I've got the avocados. I've got the organic chips. I mean, I don't think chips are necessarily a health food, but hey, Super Bowl, guacamole, some cilantro, some garlic, maybe a little bit of chili spice to make it just right, and chop some red onions into that. You got some great guacamole while you watch the game. More about the commercials, right? But the big question is, especially with Deflategate occupying our attention this week, the question is, which town's inhabitants, Seattle or Boston, will have deflated balls on Monday? Right? Because there really is a testosterone connection to the Super Bowl. It's been proven. And, there's all kinds of testosterone related rites being performed. Marshawn Lynch's crotch grabbing antics earned him a $20,000 fine after the playoff game. If you don't think this is about a gladiatorial match that impacts testosterone, not just in the players, but also in the fans, I'll share with you some research about this. Here's one about university tennis players. Testosterone was measured in six university tennis players across six matches during their varsity season. Testosterone rose just before most matches. And players with the highest pre-match testosterone had the most positive improvement in mood before their matches. After the match, this is the decisive point, average testosterone rose for winners relative to losers. So testosterone is the hormone of victory. Low testosterone is a reflection of defeat. And so clearly, testosterone is impacted by, it impacts athletic performance, and it's impacted by the outcome of sporting events. Now, okay, you may think, well, okay, that's the athletes, but I'm here, I'm just sitting on my sofa, and I'm cheering on my team. Okay, it impacts you. This very famous study, and it's been quoted a lot, came out in 1998. Testosterone changes during vicarious experiences of winning and losing among fans at sporting events. According to, this was looking at the World Cup, but I think they've done it for the Super Bowl. Participants were 21 male fans watching a televised World Cup soccer match. Participants provided saliva samples for testosterone before and after the contest. In this study, mean testosterone level increased in the fans of winning teams and decreased in the fans of losing teams. In another study, participants were eight male fans attending a basketball game between traditional college rivals, and the same thing happened. You slink away with your tail between your legs, and your testosterone is lower if your team gets whooped, and if your team wins, boom, your testosterone goes through the roof. So, it's going to be a tough day in Boston if they get if they lose and if they're simultaneously walloped by a snowstorm, I wouldn't want to be there on Monday morning. All right, let's take some calls. 888-302-3684. Let's talk to John in Queens. How you doing, John?
Hello.
Hey, John.
Dr. Hoffman.
Hi.
Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
First of all, I just want to let you know I was your patient in the 80s.
Oh, that's great.
Yes.
And you still are alive. It's amazing that you actually survived all those vitamins.
I still take vitamins.
It's incredible.
I have to take my vitamins.
Well, you know the vitamins kill you, right?
Well, not the type I'm taking. I'm taking good vitamins.
Exactly. The ones we suggested.
But I do appreciate you. I know I'm aware of that. I was saw you a long time, and I know you're a good doctor. Anyway,
thank you.
My point is right now, I have a hiatal hernia for actually 35 years.
Yeah.
It was very small then, but the past 6 to 8 years, it started to bother me.
Right.
So I'm starting to do some tests, some, you know, what do you call it, upper GI?
Yeah.
And I had a few done already. I just had one done, and I had my pH monitoring done.
Right.
And I just stopped the doctor. That was fine.
Right.
And there's an indication for me to have surgery. So.
Wait, just a minute.
Yeah.
Hold on here. You've tried a lot of things. You've been on acid blocking medication. You've taken Nexium,
yes.
Prilosec, Prevacid, something like that.
Yes,
and that's not
that.
Helping. That's not helping.
No.
Okay. And in addition, have you followed a GERD diet? Are
yes.
you taking DGL? Are you taking Endorphin, which is also a really soothing agent? Are you taking aloe vera? Are you trying some of those things before you jump to surgery?
Yes, I took aloe vera, I put that in my juice.
Juice is probably not going to be a great idea there because that could be irritating. Okay, so look, what you're talking about is something called anisin fundoplication,
yes.
where they actually do kind of a wrap around
yes.
your hiatal hernia. First of all, mm-hmm. hiatal hernia, I think, is a real kind of a hype because if you look at virtually mm-hmm. anyone, they've got some degree, especially as you get older, of incompetence of that valve. That valve mm-hmm. tends to loosen. You get a little mm-hmm. Pushing up of your stomach through that less than tight valve. So, you know, mm-hmm. obviously it's a mechanical solution is very appealing. You tighten it up and you're just fine. Well,
mm-hmm.
okay. It sometimes works and sometimes it doesn't. And when it doesn't work, it's a real train wreck.
Mm-hmm.
Patients who've had that surgery sometimes come and see me. It's very hard for me to treat their gastric symptoms once they have a failed Nissen fundoplication. I mean, it's really the last resort. And, you know, mm-hmm. if I were faced with a situation, I would move heaven or I would follow the most stringent diet. I would avoid all the possible GERD causing foods. I would take the requisite supplements for a long time
mm-hmm.
Before I got to the end stage, which is the surgery. So,
do you think that surgery is kind of hype? Too hype? And I kind of afraid.
I think virtually any surgery for this yep. kind of problem is overhyped because you know it's like Bruno Bellheim once said, you know, famous quote. You know, if your only tool is a hammer, everything looks like a nail, and surgeons tend to look towards surgical solutions. And we in the field of nutrition, we look to dietary solutions and also nutraceuticals as a means of soothing. Try a product called Endorphin. You know, it's beyond the scope of this to go through the whole process of, you know, how we do detective work on people's diets to find out what's causing the irritation. The other thing is just simple habits. A lot of people recline, you know, too soon after eating. You really have to remain upright for 3 hours after eating. No late eating, no reclining on the sofa, no, you know, having a snack before you go to bed. I mean, these are things that, first of all, you know, not great for your metabolism to eat late. But if you have a valve that's not functioning, why fix the valve so then you can further abuse, your stomach, your gastrointestinal tract and, you know, throw a lot of the wrong kind of food down your gullet. You know, I think this is sometimes a sign that people need to make substantial lifestyle adjustments, dietary adjustments. And also of concern is you didn't really respond to acid blockers. So it suggests that the problem is not acidity. The problem is inflammation. Now, when you take acid blockers, they stop the acidity, but they don't relieve the inflammation. So things, not aloe vera juice, you don't want to take aloe vera, you want to take thick, gloppy aloe vera gel, and you want to take it away from food, so it really soothes that area. Take it several times a day. You want to try a product called Endofen. Check it out on our website. Endofen is great for soothing the gastrointestinal mucosa. You want to suck on DGL lozenges all through the day. You can do 10 or 12 a day to actually heal the mucosa rather than just, you know, stomach acid hasn't played a big role in your problem. Getting rid of the stomach acidity has not cured this. Inflammation is the problem, and you need to alter your diet and use natural anti-inflammatories to deal with this. I think possibly there's a way for you to avert the surgery. And, you know, if you need some fine-tuning, you know, come and see, you can come and see our nutritionist. Come see Layla, our nutritionist, and she'll give you the correct diet.
That one thing I disagree with them is the wrapping. The wrap inside. I totally disagree with that. I think that's an additional problem they're creating there.
It can create a problem, but, you know, too many of these surgeries are done, and I think it's a reflection of lifestyle. We cure lifestyle problems with surgery in this country, and I think that GERD, to a large extent, is a problem that can be averted naturally. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman. We'll take more of your phone calls momentarily. We got lots more to tackle on today's pre-Super Bowl edition. It's like a national holiday tomorrow. Pre-Super Bowl edition of Intelligent Medicine.
Believe it or not, weight management is more than simply calories in versus calories out. To achieve your ideal weight, your digestive system must function effectively. I'm Dr. Fred Pescatore, author of The Hamptons Diet and science advisor for Dr. O'Hara's Probiotics. Research has found that there are regulating factors that control absorption of calories and whether they are stored as fat. One of the most significant influences in our ability to keep fat off is having the proper amounts of beneficial bacteria in our GI tracts. These friendly bacteria help in regulating blood sugar and normalizing our appetite. I recommend taking Dr. O'Hara's Probiotics every day due to its carefully selected strains of live beneficial bacteria that work synergistically to maximize health, increase energy through better absorption of nutrients, and help with weight management. Backed by over 25 years of scientific research, I believe that Dr. O'Hara's probiotic is the most powerful and effective probiotic available today. Discover the Dr. O'Hara difference.
Dr. O'Hara's probiotics are available at Vitamin Shoppe, Whole Foods, Sprouts, and other fine health food stores nationwide.
A regular dose of Intelligent Medicine injected directly into your inbox. Subscribe to Dr. Hoffman's free newsletter. Just go to drhoffman.com.
Welcome back to Intelligent Medicine. We had some great podcasts this week. You know, this program is just the tip of the iceberg of the Intelligent Medicine phenomenon because we do podcasts. We do a weekly Q&A with Layla, our Hoffman Center nutritionist, where we answer more questions. And you can send your questions to radioprogram@AOL.com. We'll endeavor to answer them on the podcast if you can't get through during our regular broadcast times. Also, we did a fascinating podcast with Cynthia Layer, who's an expert on fermented foods and the health benefits of fermented foods, because we can take probiotics and they'll provide healthy bacteria to your intestinal tract. But the best way to replete your intestinal tract and normalize your microbiome, which is extremely important, not just for your gut, but for all aspects of your health, is to take live foods. By that I mean cultured or fermented foods that provide live beneficial bacteria to your intestinal tract. So great podcast on that subject. Also, we introduced the subject of genetic testing this week with Dr. Michael Nova of Pathway Genomics. This is a new test that we're performing on patients at the Hoffman Center based on saliva, and it actually gives us a genetic profile that helps us form conclusions about the best supplements, the best diet for patients to undertake, whether they're good responders to exercise, and it reveals a lot more than we can determine through regular blood tests, really the frontier of 21st century nutrition and lifestyle counseling. So check out that podcast on genetic testing with Dr. Michael Nova. Our newsletter article this week, by the way, subscribe to our newsletter. You'll get some great articles sent to your inbox every week. I wrote about six new products that I'm excited about in 2015. And there's a really surprise for me because I'm not going to go through it. You can go to drhoffman.com and read the entire article. It's posted there. But I talked about Mega 10, which is a product that I think is very exciting. It lowers C-reactive protein. It's a combo of omega-3 and omega-7. Have you heard of omega-7? Well, omega-7 is a monounsaturated fat, and researchers are coming to recognize it's heart healthy and anti-inflammatory. And I thought, well, that's one. Okay, that's. And then I talked about a type of curcumin that is bioavailable to the brain. It's hard to get curcumin into the brain, and there's so many brain disorders that are affected by inflammation, and curcumin is a wonderful anti-inflammatory. We want to get it to the brain, so there's this new product called Cogumin, as in cognition, Cogumin. I talked about that. And then I talked about a type of magnesium that is also available to the brain. I think that might be particularly helpful for patients with anxiety, because magnesium levels in the brain help to calm the brain, but it's, again, it's hard to get magnesium. So I talked about this. I talked about something for the intestinal tract, Candibactin AR and BR. It's a two-part program for eradication of small intestine bacterial overgrowth or fungal overgrowth or candida. And I thought, well, these are going to, you know, cause a big stir. So I told my dispensary manager, make sure you have some of these products on hand, because people are going to see it and they're going to click on it and order it. But the big surprise here is I mentioned a product that was good for hair. And people are saying, no big whoop, you know, my brain, eh, who cares? My C-reactive protein, all right, you know, that's not a big deal. But a hair product, oh my goodness, I talked about Ron Teagarden's Dragon Herbs He Shi Wu. And those of you who are Chinese, you know what that means, but I don't. It is one of the most popular and highly revered tonic herbs in Asian herbalism, and it's widely used in Asia to maintain the youthful condition and color of the hair. So I got to say, I'm pretty skeptical about hair formulas. I don't believe in the miracle grow theory that if you, you know, take a vitamin or supplement that your hair is going to be awesome. But many patients have told me that He Shi Wu has helped to revitalize their hair. And we got slammed with orders for this stuff. It's a good, reliable source of traditional Chinese herbs, because I know there have been problems with traditional Chinese herbs. There have been contamination issues and adulteration issues, but this is a reputable company. And, man, we got a lot of orders for He Shi Wu. So check it out, drhoffman.com. New article, 6 products that I'm excited about for 2015. All right, more of your phone calls in just a moment. 888-302-3684 if you want to get through. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman. This is Intelligent Medicine.
If you're like me, you don't have time to be sick, yet our busy lifestyles can leave us vulnerable. This is Dr. Ronald Hoffman. Do you know that in Japanese, kayo means strength? This winter, find your immune strength with 4 key natural immune-boosting supplements from our friends at Kyolic. It's what I call the Kyolic Advantage, and what I use myself. Try Kyolic Aged Garlic Extract 103 for natural immune wellness and cardiovascular health. Since 70% of your immune system is in the digestive tract, Kyodophilus bolsters immunity and gut health with shelf-stable beneficial bacteria. On the go, try Kyo Green, a convenient powdered greens drink mix that offers a natural source of key vitamins and minerals. And don't forget ModuCare, a unique combination of plant sterols proven effective at balancing and strengthening immunity. So eat right, exercise, and get the Kyolic Advantage to optimize your immune health today. Available at fine health food stores everywhere.
Why do I use Clear Sinus Care? Because I like to breathe.
Because I hate having a dry nose.
There are a lot of reasons to use Clear Sinus Care, the nasal rinse and sinus spray with xylitol. But the best reason is because it works.
I use Clear because my doctor told me to.
Because it's all natural.
Clear, spelled X-L-E-A-R, moisturizes and soothes those dry and irritated sinuses. Clear Sinus Care not only helps with dry air problems, it also helps wash away pollens, pollutants, and other airborne contaminants, making your sinus passageways all clear.
Because my snoring was keeping my wife awake.
Because now I'm not all stuffed up.
And because it's all natural, Clear is 100% safe for children. The perfect way to keep your whole family healthy and breathing right. Prevent the misery and stop the suffering with Clear. That's X-L-E-A-R at clear.com and fine retailers.
Available at Whole Foods, Vitamin Shop, and other fine natural products retailers.
Wellness is just a click away. Go to drhoffman.com.
Welcome back to Intelligent Medicine. Dr. Ronald Hoffman with you. And we got a call from Joseph in Brooklyn, New York. Hey, Joey. How you doing?
Hello.
Joseph. Joseph, can we call you
Hello, Joey? Can you hear me?
I hear you. I hear you.
What's your question, Joey? I have two problems. I have reflux.
Yeah.
And I had that operation, which didn't do very much.
Bingo. So, you know, that's what I was saying to the guy. I mean, you were like a living embodiment of the fact that that's not always a fix. I mean, it makes sense, but it doesn't always work.
And I also had difficulty swallowing.
Right.
And I've been tested.
Which is what can happen sometimes after that surgery. Can sometimes, you know, tighten up that sphincter, but it makes it difficult to swallow.
I always had difficulty.
Yeah, you sound like you're almost like you're choking a little bit on your words.
I am.
So what did you? You had a question. You had a question originally about vegetarianism. I'd like to tackle that. Hang tight. You had a question originally on vegetarianism. Is that correct?
Yes, because I'm low on iron and I'm anemic.
Okay, and so you want to know whether so I'm looking at my call screen here. The question is vegetarianism a good thing?
Yeah.
Right. Okay. So, you know, I got to say, for your situation, especially since you're low in, you know, the reason you're low in iron is because A, you're probably malabsorbing, and B, because you're having continued reflux symptoms, I bet you're taking an acid blocker, right?
I stopped doing them.
You stopped doing that. Okay. So then I would have to evaluate you to find out, you know, is it dietary? Is it because you're malabsorbing? And, you know, the other concern is when you're low iron and there's no other explanation, you got to make sure you're not bleeding from someplace. Maybe you're, you know, having slow ooze of blood from an inflamed esophagus, or worse yet, it could be a polyp or even a precancerous lesion in your intestinal tract. It needs to be checked out. Presumably your doctors have done that, but let's talk about the vegetarianism thing. Is vegetarianism a good thing in general? And so the answer is, the good thing about vegetarianism is that you eat lots of fruits and vegetables. That's good. You know, people talk about plant-based diet. Hey, right on. You know, have lots and lots of plants and, you know, fruits and vegetables. For some people, fruits are a little too rich in natural sugars, so we skew it more towards green leafy vegetables and low starchy vegetables. But you got to have a lot of vegetables to be healthy, okay? And maybe some fruit. But the problem also with a vegetarian diet is that you're not eating meat. And meat, for some people, is fantastic. And it's a fantastic source of iron and protein. And also, you know, meat is maligned as being the cause of disease. And the vast majority of studies suggest that meat is not the culprit, that the culprit is too many refined foods, in particular refined starches and sugars. That's what's causing the problems in America. New studies are vindicating meat in terms of the saturated fat and cholesterol content. And no, I'm not including fried meat, you know, poor quality processed meat. I think that's where you get into trouble, is it's not the meat per se, but it's how it's American meat. It's, you know, highly industrialized processed meat products that are potentially toxic, dangerous, that are laden with carcinogenic chemicals. That's where you get into trouble. So, you know, you're vegetarian, it's working for you, great. But I see a lot of vegetarians who want to apply a correction to their diet. They're suffering from lots of gastrointestinal symptoms, bloating, they're weak, they're tired, they're debilitated, they've got osteoporosis, they've got dry skin because they're not consuming adequate amounts of fats. There's some problems associated with vegetarianism. So different strokes for different folks. And, you know, in terms of your condition, vegetarianism, probably a disaster, because high fiber foods going down a narrowed food pipe with swallowing problems and iron deficiency, that is certainly not the way to go for you. All right. Let's talk to Bill. Hey, Bill, how you doing?
How are you doing, Dr. Hoffman?
All right.
All right. I wanted to ask you some questions about hemorrhoids, or sometimes people call them piles. If everything else is ruled out as a source of bleeding, and it's determined that bleeding is only coming from the piles themselves, or coming from the hemorrhoids only, there's no other dangerous things going on there. Once that's ruled out, what are some alternative methods to possibly stop bleeding? If there are any that might work, and also to shrink the hemorrhoids or less than the hemorrhoids.
So this is about you, and you're anemic, right? You have a low blood count or low iron, and you've got hemorrhoids. Is that correct?
I would say that's probably correct. As far as the anemic, I'm not sure, but it's possible.
Okay. So, I mean, I've actually had patients who have it. The way medicine works is if you're having weakness and shortness of breath and, you know, you're really debilitated. Sometimes they'll send you for elaborate cardiovascular tests. I had one patient who went for the most elaborate cardiovascular tests, and before they discovered that really his problem was that he had a very low blood count. A simple blood test would have revealed he had a very low blood count. And because he was a middle-aged guy, they said, well, his heart problems, he got a short of breath, he's got chest pressure, he can't climb stairs. Well, he was extremely anemic, and why was he anemic? He had bad bleeding hemorrhoids. And just, you know, fixing up those hemorrhoids, he was fine. It wasn't a heart problem. So, yes, this can be very serious. Treatments for hemorrhoids, I mean, there are various ways. You can freeze them, you can burn them, you can ligate them, you can surgically remove them, you can laser them. It's not for me to say which is the optimal treatment for this, because I'm not a proctologist, or now the preferred term is a rectal surgeon. They've got expert techniques for dealing with this. In terms of, is there a way to make them stop bleeding? Well, you know, certain conditions cause excessive bleeding, certain blood conditions, inadequate vitamin K. Vitamin K can help sometimes bleeding problems. I have patients who have tried something called Venous Optimizer. It's a product by Gero, which is helpful for varicose veins, but also, you know, hemorrhoids are a form of varicose veins. They're veins that enlarge and swell, and taking potent bioflavonoids can sometimes help to shrink them. But if your hemorrhoids are big or protruding or bleeding, sometimes the only option is some form of surgical treatment to just eliminate the source of the bleeding. And, you know, in terms of the latest, greatest treatment, they're always coming up with something new. So I would consult a rectal surgeon about that if that's something that's bothering you. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and in just a moment, more of your phone calls. And we'll talk a little bit about dry skin. Dry skin, a big problem this time of year as temperatures plummet and humidity drops. This is Intelligent Medicine.
Why do I use the Spry Dental Defense System? Because it tastes great.
Because fillings are ugly.
There are a lot of reasons to use the Spry Dental Defense System. A complete line of oral care products such as toothpaste, mouthwash, gum, mints, and more, made with 100% xylitol. But the best reason is because it works. And because it's all natural, Spry is 100% safe for kids. There are even Spry products developed especially for your children and toddlers.
Because my dental hygienist told me to.
Because it's all natural.
So ask for Spry by name whenever you buy toothpaste, mouthwash, gum, mints, or anything else for your mouth. And make sure you're receiving all the benefits of 100% xylitol products.
Because I want a great smile, duh. Why do I use Spry? Because it works.
The Spry Dental Defense System. Great taste, less fillings. For information or to purchase Spry, visit SpryDental.com.
Available at Whole Foods, Vitamin Shoppe, and other fine natural products retailers.
This is Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and I believe that Dr. O'Hara's probiotics provide proper intestinal balance, which goes way beyond optimizing digestion. It has a profound impact on virtually every system of the body. I'm an early adopter of Dr. O'Hara's probiotics. I personally take them every day, and I've been recommending them to my patients for over 10 years. I've long extolled the benefits of probiotics. A frequent focus of my health programs and wellness articles is the importance of the gut to overall health. I believe in Dr. O'Hara's because they combine a wide spectrum of beneficial bacteria with prebiotics that help the good bacteria establish a foothold in your GI tract. They're easy to take, well-tolerated, and convenient. They don't need refrigeration. Dr. O'Hara takes the centuries-long Japanese tradition of creating expert probiotic foods to the next level. They're the next generation of probiotics. Dr. O'Hara's probiotics are available at Vitamin Shoppe, Whole Foods, Sprouts, and other fine health food stores nationwide.
A regular dose of Intelligent Medicine injected directly into your inbox. Subscribe to Dr. Hoffman's free newsletter. Just go to drhoffman.com.
Welcome back to Intelligent Medicine. If you had been a subscriber to our Intelligent Medicine newsletter, you would have seen an article a couple of weeks ago entitled 10 Natural Solutions for Winter Skin Dryness. I'll share some of the high points, but you can find the article in its entirety at drhoffman.com. We've republished it there. Winter skin dryness is a matter of physics, because skin naturally holds moisture, and cold winter air is very dry, and wind chill also sucks out moisture from your skin. Even a warm wind, a warm breeze, will, like, you know, in a restroom hand dryer, that will actually suck moisture out of your skin. So combine the cold temperatures with windy conditions, and water is literally sucked out of your skin. So the variety of things you could do, you know, one thing that I promote is don't slather stuff on. Well, you can't slather stuff on. I'll talk about that in a minute. But you need an internal lube job. Americans spend billions of dollars on potions and creams, moisturizers. And what you need to do is you need to moisturize from the inside out, in particular with omega-3 fatty acids. You ask any vet. And I have colleagues and friends who are vets, and they tell me that when an animal has the mange, you know, it's like a dry, dandruffy skin condition, and the hair's falling out, and they're itching and biting themselves, they give them supplements of either flax oil or fish oil, you know, a canine version of that, and within weeks, the mange is alleviated. So why can't we do that for people? We just, you know, we miss the boat in not talking to people about the benefits of essential fatty acids. GLA, too, that's plentiful in black currant seed, borage oil, or evening primrose oil. It improves skin barrier function and prevents moisture loss. Very hydrating for the skin, GLA in addition to fish oil. So you need both. And one of my favorites is Manuka Therapy Cream. You can find it at drhoffman.com. It's actually a featured product. Find it on our homepage. And the way I use it is I shave, but I pre-shave by putting a little bit of coconut oil in my face. I have to warm it up because coconut oil is a solid at room temperature. I warm it up, and then I put that on my face. Then I put the shaving cream on. Then I shave, and then as an aftershave, I put on Manuka Therapy Cream. Then I go out in the cold, and it's windy. I walk to work, you know, 2 miles a day, and it's cold, and it's windy, and it's very desiccating to the skin. But the Manuka Skin Cream and the pre-shave with the coconut oil keeps my skin moist. And that very effective cream, also great for its anti-inflammatory effects, skin cancer preventive effects, good stuff. Now, another tip is to use hyaluronic acid. Now, a lot of people taking hyaluronic acid, HA, internally because it's a collagen booster. But there's some new formulations of hyaluronic acid that you can apply topically, and it's great stuff. Hyaluronic acid, or HA serum, again, you can find out about it at drhoffman.com, is a really good skin moisturizer because it has a unique ability to hold in moisture. And so you can use that HA serum as an anti-wrinkle cream and something to prevent your skin from being desiccated. Now, here's how good it is. We are now using hyaluronic acid for women who have vaginal dryness who can't take estrogen. Estrogen will restore vaginal elasticity in women who have postmenopausal vaginal dryness. But some women either can't take estrogen because of a history of breast cancer or concern about the risk of breast cancer, or they're afraid to. They just don't want to do it. They just don't want to mess around with hormones. So HA applied topically or in the form of a suppository has been shown to provide moisture and lubrication and make it possible to resume sexual activity in women who cannot use estrogen. That's how potent it is as a skin moisturizer. It actually works also on internal skin. So these are some very cool techniques you could use. You can find out more at drhoffman.com because we wrote an entire article about it a couple of weeks ago. All right, let's talk to Dory in New Jersey. How you doing?
Hi, how are you?
Yep. Good.
My 17-year-old son was just diagnosed with keratoconus.
Yeah.
He's at the
You want to explain to our listener what was happening that he got that diagnosed? That's an eye condition, right?
Right. We were just in an office, and he couldn't read clearly a sign across the room, so I brought him to the ophthalmologist.
Right.
And he was diagnosed, though it is very early in the condition. Mm-hmm. I wanted to know if perhaps there was something we could do to strengthen the corneal wall.
Right. Okay. So here's what I know about keratoconus. Keratoconus is a condition of the cornea. It sometimes results in the need for corneal transplants. And that's why, you know, people donate their eyes mostly to the you know, they can give their clear corneas to people who have conditions like this or who've had trauma to their eyes, damage to their eyes, maybe, you know, like acid thrown in their eyes or an explosion or something. The condition is actually associated with a defect in the ability to produce antioxidants in the eye. And therefore, it responds to oral antioxidants. And I, for a patient like that, I would recommend, you know, the full gamut of antioxidants, you know, zinc, selenium, mixed carotenoids, vitamin C, vitamin E at high doses. All those would be good. But also things that are sort of the extraordinary antioxidants. I would give alpha-lipoic acid. I would give a glutathione precursor like N-acetylcysteine or NAC. And I might even suggest that he try glutathione eye drops, they're not available over the counter, but they can be custom made, custom compounded in a sterile way. I wouldn't put anything, you know, from a vitamin bottle in the eyes or make a homemade concoction. It has to be very sterile, correctly made. And you can apply that directly to the surface of the eye, and it may help to nourish the corneal surface and provide some antioxidant protection that'll slow the progression of this disease. It's a inherited condition. Genetic susceptibility creates it, but it does respond to boosting antioxidant levels. Maybe, you know, resveratrol, EGCG from green tea, curcumin. You know, these are some things that also have that kind of beneficial effect. All right.
What about bilberry?
That would be a good thing. You know, bilberry is reputed to help the eyes, but it's mostly targeted towards the retina. You know, the retina is the back of the eye. So, it's good for the eyes, but, you know, what part of the eyes? That's like saying this supplement is good for the body. Well, what part of the body? You know, the eyes are complex organs. The back of the eye is the retina. It responds to zeaxanthine and bilberry and DHA. But the cornea is different. The cornea is a different structure, and it may respond better to the antioxidants that I mentioned. Bilberry wouldn't hurt, but it's not on target. All right, let's, in the remaining time we have, I will share this one with you, which is about mouth cancer. And mouth cancer these days, you know, in the old days we saw mouth cancer, it was invariably associated with smoking. And now there's been a shift in the epidemiology of mouth cancer. Well, get people with mouth cancer, they never smoked a cigarette in their lives. So what's going on with that? Well, you know, the Michael Douglas story, he had mouth cancer. And there was this big brouhaha because he talked about it. And he said, well, I got it from oral sex. Well, he was also a smoker, so we don't know how he got it. But it turns out that HPV, the same virus that causes cervical cancer, may be responsible these days for a lot of mouth cancer. And you don't have to smoke to get mouth cancer. And this new article from Penn State shows that a compound in green tea may kill oral cancer cells while leaving healthy cells alone. That compound is well known to you. It's called EGCG, epigallocatechin 3 gallate. It's a potent compound found in green tea. It's anti-cancer effects. And in fact, there's a product called polyphenon that was originated in Germany. It's used to paint the cervix in patients with abnormal pap smears. It is a potent concentrate of EGCG from green tea. It's actually been licensed, and I think it is even approved in the United States for use in abnormal pap smears, which these days we know are now often caused by HPV, sexually transmitted virus that is responsible for cervical cancer. That's why they want all these young girls and boys now to take the HPV vaccine to prevent cervical cancer. All right, so EGCG for oral cancer. Now, here's another piece of this. A recent study showed that HPV can be targeted with a supplement called AHCC. That's active hexose correlated compound, or brand name Empower. And recently I had a lady come in and she has some health concerns, but one of her concerns is that she keeps turning up positive for HPV. There's no sign of cancer, but she's concerned that the chronic HPV carrier state in her cervix may lead to cancer. And I shared with her that HPV can be treated with AHCC. So I gave her some AHCC in the form of the supplement Empower. She went one step further. She is a real research bird dog. She went right to the source. She tracked down the author of the study that showed that HPV was inhibited by AHCC. Sounds like alphabet soup. AHCC is used a lot in cancer treatment in Japan and is a potent immune enhancer. She went directly to the researcher who performed the researcher, talked to the researcher, said, how much should I use? Now, I'd started this lady on just one capsule twice daily. The lady said, the researcher said, it takes about 3 grams a day, 500 milligram capsules. That would be 6 a day. And so she's willing to undertake a trial of higher dose AHCC, a more potent dose of AHCC, to prevent the development of cervical cancer and eradicate the human papillomavirus. So folks with precancerous lesions in their mouth, a good 1-2 punch, EGCG from green tea, or you can drink green tea. Green tea, you'll get it right on the surface of your mouth. People who drink green tea probably less likely to get oral cancer. And oh, by the way, how do we discover the cancer properties of green tea? Studies in China show that people who consumed a lot of green tea had much lower risk of esophageal cancer. And then we're off to the races in terms of discovering the anti-cancer properties of green tea. So there you have it, nutraceuticals that have potent effects. EGCG also currently under investigation as a treatment for chronic lymphocytic leukemia. Helps keep the blood counts from going sky high. That trial underway, I believe, at the Mayo Clinic. Well, thanks very much for joining us. Check out drhoffman.com for much more information and podcasts. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman. Enjoy the Super Bowl.